Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this lovely cold morning. As always, it seems like it's getting colder and colder every day, but we are in winter, so we should tell God thank you. Thank you, Lord, for another day, because he didn't have to wake us up, and he didn't have to give it to us. So thanking God this morning for all of you. Thank you for joining us. Mother Valerie, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
I pray that you are having a blessed day, cold that it may be. Hallelujah. But the word that God gave me for this morning is don't look backwards, look ahead. Actually, based on chapter 9 of Genesis, which Mother will be reading this morning. And the thing is that we all have heard, you know, where Ham is the father of X people, and, you know, they going through this because they was cursed because, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, Ham did something. He laughed at his daddy. Dad, you know, celebrating. You think about this. You've been building the ark for how many years, 75 to 120, they say, depending on which book you read. And then it goes on to tell you that, you know, folks laughing at you, ridiculing you, then to know that you and your family were the only ones that survived a catastrophic event. Catastrophic. Yeah. Your family members are gone. Your cousins, your aunties, your uncles, you know, because think about how long these folks lived. So imagine how many relatives Noah had. And think about all of them gone but your three sons, their wives, and your wife. He was going through. He made a vineyard. He got a little intoxicated. And his son laughed at him.
Amen.
Because, again, bringing sin back into the world. Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long on this earth, even though the commandments had not been written. They talked with God, and they knew the heart of God. He laughed. Laughed at his dad. His brothers did it. Put them coats on backwards. They didn't look back. They looked ahead. They didn't look at their father's nakedness. They covered him up. And that's what we have to do. We got to cover up the nakedness of our family and pray for God
Amen.
To heal them. I'm sure they were praying for God to cover their father because he was going through. Folks go through, make mistakes. Noah made a mistake.
Amen.
He overindulged in that vineyard. But I'm sure that it hit him as he's picking those grapes, getting his stuff together. I'm it. My family's no longer here. My auntie's not here. My grandmothers are not here. My cousins are not here. My siblings are not here. But he had to look ahead. He couldn't look backwards either. He had to look ahead because now you got to repopulate the whole planet. Your wife is going to have more children. Your sons are going to have children. There's going to be children coming out of this family to repopulate the planet. And they got to marry each other until we can get the bloodline cleaned out. So go further and further and further, but you can't look backwards. You got to keep moving ahead. You got to keep looking ahead. You got to keep going toward the mark of the high calling, which is God, which is in Jesus Christ. And I'm sure it was hard. But, Mother, I'm going to give it over to you to pray in this morning the word of God. And I'm going to say this. It's a powerful word. It's a lot of genealogy, a lot of hard names, but we're going to get through in the name of Jesus. So, Mother, I give it to you, and then I'll be back.
Amen. Good morning, Pastor Bridget, again. Good morning.
Good morning, beautiful lady that I call Mother Valerie.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. He did it again. Again, he woke us up. And I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I give God praise. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank and praise you for who you are. We thank and praise you for another day. Another day to start us on our way. Lord, forgive us for all of our sins, knowingly and unknowingly. Help us, God, just be with us. I know you're in us, but help us to be more like Jesus. Let us draw somebody towards you. And God, we will praise you. We will honor you, and we will thank you. Can't say anything else. You can say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. It's just a beautiful morning. I'm looking out at my kitchen window, and that everything that breathes, everything that has breath, praise be the Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm coming out of Genesis 9 and 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons, said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you should be on every piece of the earth, on every bird of the air, and on all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And you know what? I see people getting a steak, and that steak be bleeding. It be bleeding blood, and they eat it. And God said, we shall not do it. But people do it. God allows you to do what you want to do. He allows you to do that. Surely, for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me before, I established my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, cattle, every piece of the earth with you and all that go out of the ark, every piece of the earth. Thus, I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Never again. God destroyed every single little scene my pastor was talking, all the uncles and the cousins and the brothers, every single thing that didn't go into the ark was destroyed because of sin. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, I'll set my rainbow in the clouds. It shall be a sign for the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And my gosh, the rainbow is of many colors, and it is so beautiful. One time I saw a double rainbow, and then I got my camera. I took a picture of it. It was so beautiful. It was two rainbows, a double rainbow. I had never seen that before. God do beautiful things. He just do. Said he would never, ever destroy this world by a flood. No, the next time it's going to be by fire. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me, you, and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Rainbows shall be in the clouds. And I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three was the son of Noah, and from these the whole earth. This is the whole earth. And look at all these people on the earth. That's why I don't understand prejudice, because we are all one family. I don't understand people being prejudiced against light-skinned people, dark-skinned people, yellow people, brown people. We're all made from God. We are all one family. And we had all one language. And then God, you know, they try to go make a tower to reach heaven, and it was called Babel. And God destroyed that. He destroyed the tower and scattered the people and made different languages so they couldn't understand one another. We're all family, regardless whether you're short, black, brown, yellow, I won't say green, but we're all family. And Noah began to be a farmer. He planted a vineyard, and then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Well, see, God tells people about drinking. He talks about that drinking, you know. And people now say, well, I drink a little wine for my stomach's sake. Yeah, right. And they drink the wine, and they drink the wine, and they drink the wine. And then he drank of the wine and was drunk. And then came uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, told his two brothers outside. So Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, went backwards, and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away. They did not see their father's nakedness. Noah woke up from his wine and knew that his younger son had done to him. I mean, how did he know? That's something that I've read before, and I wondered, Pastor, how did he know what his younger son had done to him? Then he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. He shall be to his brother. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God and Lord Sitter, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. Noah lived after flood 350 years. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. My goodness gracious me, how many children did he have? He lived 950 years. Well, I mean, what did he look like? 950 years, and then he died. Wow. I just wonder, you know, how do you look at a man that is 950 years old? I wonder what they look like. Now, that's a good question. What do you look like? Wow. I'm coming out of Genesis 13. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him to the south. Abraham was
Hold on, Mother. We'll get to 13 okay. when we get to 13. So we're getting ready to go into verse 10. And, Mother, did you get in that life lesson for chapter 9, verse 12? Pardon me?
Which one?
Chapter 9, verse 12. This is the sign, that rainbow. I heard you talking about it. And it is there's something about the rainbow. Mother, like you, I saw a double rainbow, and it just did something to my heart. And one morning, I was on my way to work, and I'll have to send you the picture. I saw a rainbow that went from one end all the way to the other. It was the entire rainbow, because most of the time you see a part of it, but this particular day I saw the entire thing, and it looked like it had an eye in it, and all I could think of was the eye of God is looking down upon us.
It's
just something so beautiful that it, you know how something else is so beautiful that it overwhelms you? That was how I felt. I was overwhelmed by the rainbow. And, you know, you have people that if you wear a rainbow, you know, shirt, they want to give you a side eye, you know, because the rainbow has been, you know, taken over by other groups. But you know what? My feeling is this. Just remember, when you put on your rainbow and you put on all these colors, that it is a covenant with God. So are you living under the covenant with God? And that's what we look at, covenant with God.
Amen.
That rainbow, you cannot diminish it, and you cannot change it. A rainbow is still a rainbow, and it all comes from God.
Amen. But you know what? Right now, the gay people have taken the sign of the rainbow. And like you were saying, it's a covenant with God, with all the people on the earth, that he will not destroy this world again by a flood. And when you look at it, that double rainbow is just so gorgeous. Life lesson, Genesis 9 and 12. This is the sign of the covenant which I made between me, you, and every living creature. When God makes a promise, he does not want us to forget it. Therefore, he often gives us some tangible sign of pledge to memorize his promise. And that was the promise. Every time it rains, sometimes I've seen just, like Pastor was saying, half of a rainbow. Just half. And I can't see the other half. And you know what they say out in the world? Well, if you find the end of the rainbow, you find a pot of gold, that's foolishness. But they tell kids, well, if you ever can get to the end of the rainbow, you will find a pot of gold. But God put that tangible sign of pledge to memorize his promise. And every time we look at and see, when people say that there is no God, atheists, how can they say that when you can see, after you read, you see the rainbow as a sign of his promise? God has left so much of himself right here on the earth. There's so much of God here. There's you when you look at your face in the mirror. There's the birds, there's the bees, there's the trees, the little powerful ants, the ocean, the waves, sun, moon, stars. He said, I've left so much for you here to know that there is a God. Man couldn't do this. Man couldn't build this. Oh, my gosh, there's so much of God here. If you want to know God, just ask God. Show yourself. But he don't show yourself. He showed himself, Genesis 9:21. He drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent, even righteous and blameless people like Noah do foolish things and fall into sin. But God is so gracious that he calls us to repentance so that we might once more enjoy the fullness of his blessing. You know, even though Noah got drunk, even though some of us drink the wine and maybe get tipsy, God wants you to repent. And the people will say, Jesus turned water into wine. And we can drink a little wine for our stomachs.
Come on,
the Bible says so.
That is one of those details. You know what? I'm going to take the word of God and kind of twist it in a smidge so that, you know, I can justify my sinful actions. You know, yes, Jesus turned water into wine, but remember what it was. It was an occasion of a marriage. Exactly. A marriage occasion. He wasn't turning water into wine just to say, let's have a party over here. It was for a special occasion, and his mama told him to do it. So what did mama say? You do what he tell you to do. She's like, I ain't got time to hear about you not being your time. We got to do, you're not going to mess up my best friend's daughter's wedding. I know you can do this, so I need you to handle this business. So you know how we are when mama tell you to do something. You know you better do it, you know, because mama will give you that mama look. I know because Mom Valerie will give you a mama look too. Just like my mama, my biological mama, she don't play. Miss Evelyn is pretty tough. And, you know, Mother Valerie is really tough because God uses her to give you an understanding because wisdom comes. God gives wisdom to those that have lived a little longer than others. Sometimes we have young people that don't want to listen to the advice of their elders. And I tell you, Mother, I thank you for your advice. I thank you for the wisdom that God has given you to impart on us. So we thank you for that. We thank God for those that he puts in our life with wisdom. Wisdom. We got to get understanding as well. And so this thing, we can't allow anything and anybody to take away God's word. We already know that the enemy does that. He did Christmas, didn't he? Gave us Santa Claus. Come on now. Don't get mad. Hey, you know, that's what he does. We already know that. And so we have to be prepared. The enemy is going to come with something to try to take away what God has given. But we keep moving and we move forward. We don't look backwards. We're not going to look at the nakedness of our fathers. We're going to go forward and put them, cover them up. We don't want to be cursed. And if we go, Mother, are you finished with chapter 9? And we're going to go ahead and go into chapter 10 and 11 and 12. And Mother will be back with you in chapter 13 and 14. Because this is Old Testament Sunday. I mean, Old Testament Friday. Sorry, y'all. I am, like, trying my best to get to Sunday because Sunday we'll be in Matthew. And, I can't wait because we got the blessed R. I mean, the Beatitudes. So we got a lot of great word coming on Sunday. So I'm getting excited because Sunday we also have the Lord's Prayer. So we have a lot coming up. So let's get back into Genesis. Lots of genealogy, so please don't get bored and turn us off because we still have a whole lot to go. So it says, now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madah, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tirath. Gomer were Ashkenaz, Raphias, Torgormel. And the sons of Javan were Elisha, Tarish, Kittim, and Dodim. From these, the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, into their nations. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mezarim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabbath, Rama, and Sabbaketh. And the sons of Rama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said that Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, at the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh, the lands of Shinar. From that land, he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ar, Calah, and Rasin. Between Nineveh and Calah, that is the principal city. Mazarim begot Ludim, Ananin, Lahabim, Naphtuhim, Patharashim, and Tashshalim, from whom came the Philistines and the Kaphtorim. Canaan begot Sidon, the firstborn of Heath, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Gershites, and the Havites, and the Arkites, and the Shinite, and the Arvadite, the Zemarite, and the, I'm sorry, the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamahite. Afterwards, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed, and the border of Canaanites was from Sidon as you go toward Gera as far as Gaza. Y'all caught that right? Then, as you go toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Amah, and Zeboim, as far as Lasha, these were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages, in their land and in their nations, and children were born also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder. The sons of Shem were Elam, Eshar, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Githa, and Mesh. Arphaxad begot Shelah, and Shelah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his day the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almadad, Shelaphat, Hazarimam, Jerah, Hadram, Uzal, Dekala, Obel, Abomiel, Sheba, Orab, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. And these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling place, Misha, as you go toward Shephar, the mountains of the east. These were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood.
My Lord.
Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language. Mother was talking about that. The whole earth had one language. Again, why do you think that there is a core thing in every language that a name sounds the same? The word, the name Adam is the same in any language. Whatever language you speak, the word Adam, which is my oldest son's name, is the same everywhere. Adam does not change. Like, my name is Bridget, and it becomes Brigitte in German.
Mine is
Brigitte in Bridget. In Ireland, in England, in Wales, but the D, I think it's D-G-E-T, E-R-I-D-G-E-T. Hmm. So understand, names change, but the word, the name Adam, same in every language. And I learned that from my oldest son, who studies stuff like that. And it goes on to say, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now remember, this is Canaan. Nimrod was a descendant of Canaan, a descendant of Ham. And very, very smart. And it says, They journeyed from the east, and they found the plains in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be for the face of the whole earth. He didn't know that he was given a prophetic word. That's exactly what happened. They got scattered because they were trying to build this city to heaven. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face, building the city. Therefore, the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood, and he begot Arphaxad. Shem lived 500 years and begot sons and daughters. Arphaxad lived 35 years and begot Shelah. After he begot Shelah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Shelah lived 30 years and begot Eber. After he begot Eber, Shelah lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years and begot Peleg. After he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and begot sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. After he begot Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and begot sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and begot Serug. After he begot Serug, Reu lived 207 years and begot sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and begot Nahor. After he begot Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and begot sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. After he begot Terah, Terah lived 119 years and begot sons and daughters. Are y'all catching something? The years of life are decreasing.
Yes, the years are getting shorter and shorter.
Mm-hmm. And then as we continue Nera lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father, Terah, in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his son Abram's wife. And they went out with them from Ur to the Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran.
Amen, amen.
Years have got gone from 900 years to 200, or 100 and something.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. The years kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
And what God gives us is 120 years. It's supposed to be the longest. We should live 120 years.
That's amazing.
Three score and seven, which is 70 years. So between 70 and 120 years is what people in our time are living. I think the oldest person is in Japan, I believe. And I saw it on the internet, but I cannot remember what exactly it is. But I know that there are still people that are over are 100 years old. And I believe I saw one that was 105. But there are people that mostly in Asian hunger better. You know, they eat healthier than we do. Simple.
Right. I have a lady
and
here in this building. She's 102.
Wow.
Yeah, that's I have awesome. A neighbor, and she's my neighbor right around the corner. And she gets around and walks just as fast as I do. She do her own washing. I said, my goodness, Vivian, why don't you allow other people to wash for you? But no, she wants to do everything for herself. And she's 102. And one day I'm
thinking, that's why she's 102, because she stayed active.
Yeah, because she's doing mm-hmm. stuff. Now, I have chapter 12. Now, the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I'll show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. You should be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So Abram departed as the Lord spoke to him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, all of their possessions. So they gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. They came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to a place of Shechem as far as the Tebah tree of Moab, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. There he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him, and he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Came to pass when he came close to entering Egypt that he said to Sapphira, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. They'll kill me, but they will let me live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, that I may live because of you. And so it was when Abraham came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful, even in her old age. She was very beautiful. The prince of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. The woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abraham well, very well, for her sake. He had male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sapphira, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this? What is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. You know, that's something, because if he had slept with the woman, he would have died because he was sleeping with the man's wife, not the sister. And they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. And my goodness gracious me. 13. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife, all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. He went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to a place of the altar where he made there his first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock, Canaanites and the Perizzites that dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we're brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot has separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number, the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Can anybody number the dust of the earth? Impossible. Impossible. We cannot number the dust of the earth, and that's amazing. That's how many descendants he would have. I'll rise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. And Abraham moved his tent, went and dwelled by the timber trees of Amen, which are in Hebrew, and built an altar. He built an altar there to the Lord, and I'm sure that he prayed. I'm sure that he thanked God. I'm so thankful, God. Look at what you're saying to me. Wow. Abraham, he thanked God. And in his seed was Isaac. I mean, he was grateful. He was thankful. But I can imagine he was saying, now, how can this thing be? But is there anything impossible with God? Nothing. God told him, you would be the father of many seeds. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Wow, that's a lot of people. Can you imagine the dust of the earth, all these people? And if you look at the world now, we say we are the descendants of Abraham, and we really are. My Lord and my God, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen. What a word. We are all, again, Mother, you said it, and I say it quite frequently. All the foolishness that's going on in the world, we are family, and we need to stop.
Amen.
As you said the other day, as God asked Cain, where's your brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? And we have to say,
we are.
We are our brother's keeper. We are each other's keeper. And we should come together in love. I love God, and you can't say you love God and hate your brother. That's the word of God, right? So how are we going to say, I hate this person. I hate that person. I don't like these people. I don't like those people. Excuse me. Them people, those people. You people, we're all one with God. We are each other's brothers and we are each other's sisters. We are all family, and we need to stop the foolishness. Because the reason why, everything was destroyed before, violence and the same kind of stuff. Folks hating each other over no reason. And guess what? They was family too. They were family too. They
right.
were the descendants of Adam and Eve. They were family too.
Yes. They are family in Israel. Or the thing that's going on in Israel right now between
family.
Two brothers. Family.
It's a family feud. And it's not the Steve Harvey kind. We got to stop. Thousands of people, mostly children, being killed over grown folk foolishness.
Grown folk foolishness.
And we need to stop.
My Lord.
And we need to quit giving money toward foolishness. No, we need to stop it. Find a way to get along, family. And that's what we have to do here in America. Hundreds of years since the inception in 1619. We've been dealing with foolishness in this nation as well. Slavery was not sweet and kind. It was not teaching a skill. It was brutal. It was horrible. And it was wrong. When you think about a baby being torn from its mother's breast to be given to crocodiles and alligators as bait, you tell me that's humane? Mm-mm. No, it's not. We've been dealing with foolishness for hundreds of years in this nation. And then you have those that say, well, they're the descendants of Cain and they're cursed. They're the descendants of Ham and they're cursed. You know what? Get over it. I'm blessed because I know who I am. I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
And I tell you one thing. Our ancestors that came across those seas were tough and strong because they made it. Made it.
They had to.
We're descendants of kings and queens and greatness because we're still here and we made it. Tell God thank you. Hallelujah. And I'm not trying to digress. Let's get back into the word. And it said, and it came to pass in the days of Elraphel, king of Shinar, Arach, king of Esharah, Elishar, Keldolamar, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Barshe, king of Gomorrah, Sinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zebah, and the king of Bela, that is Zor, and all these joined together in the valley of Sidon, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Caldolamar, and in the 13th year they rebuilt. In the 14th year, Caldolamar and the kings that were with him came and attacked Raphaim and the Ashtaroth, Karanim, and Zuzim and Ham, and Eman in Shava, Kirahahim and the Horites in their mountains of Sir, as far as Alparan, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En Mishpah, that is Kadesh, and attacked all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites who dwelt in Hazarazon Timar, and the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zebin, and the king of Bela, that is Zor, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Sidon against Keldolamar, king of Elam, Tidal, king of all of nations, and Raphael, king of Shinar, and Arach, king of Elasar. Four kings against five. Now the valley of Sidon was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in and his goods and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, but he dwelt by the cherubim tree of Mira, and the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Anar, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the Valley of Shavah, that is the King's Valley, after his return from the defeat of Kedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Meshulzadak, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, and I want to put a pin there, Meshulzadak, there are those that believe that Meshulzadak was Christ, that he came in the flesh.
Amen.
The priest of God. And so there, you know, depending on where you're reading and what theologians you're studying, there are those that will say that Meshulzadak, because you'll hear about Meshulzadak again in the New Testament, but they believe that this was Jesus in the flesh, in one of his coming to earth in the flesh, and that he was a high priest of God. And it says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe. There's the first time we talk about tithe.
Amen.
It's with Meshulzadak. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 14. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom, mm-hmm, said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God, Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take things that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Anar, Eshcol, and Merah. Let them take their portion. Abram's like, I ain't taking nothing from you. Not one sandal, not one thing. I will not. Because he knew what he had said. He said, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. What did he just do? He was blessed by Meshulzadak. And what did he call Meshulzadak? What did he say? I raised my hand to the Lord. Capital L. And when you see capital L-O-R-D, mostly in the Bible, it is referring to Jesus. Because it'll say the
Amen.
Lord Most High, meaning God. But when it says just the Lord, capital L, it's normally
mm-hmm.
Jesus. But I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High. So he's calling on Jesus, but he's also calling on the Lord God, the possessor of heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, again, is talking to him. You know, we got to remember, in that time, God talked to folks. He actually physically talked to folks. You can hear his voice.
Amen.
And he tries to talk to us now, but we have so much clutter and static that we miss out on hearing the voice of God. And as we go back into
Amen.
Chapter 12, it says, how can I become more obedient child of God? We want to be obedient to God. It says, obedience is a major characteristic of a person who is mighty in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Abram was of God and obedience. And he said all obedience began with faith in the sovereignty of God. You got to have faith. See, we talked
Amen.
About this last night. Hebrews 11:1. You know, substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And it says if we fail to believe in God's sovereignty, we will find it difficult to obey him. Abraham based his relationship with God on his confidence that God would do what he has promised. Romans 4:20-21. Until we study and meditate on God's word, we will never learn to trust him. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, responding in confidence, trust. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Number two, we grow in obedience by waiting for God's timing. God is very time conscious, not in terms of minutes and seconds, but in regard to our acting in obedience according to his schedule. Throughout the scriptures, we find him moving in the fullness of time. He is neither early nor late. Ooh, God is always on time. Number three, we continue to grow in obedience by refusing to subject God's plans to common sense or the reasoning of the world. Some things that God requires look ridiculous, from a human perspective. God told Abraham he would have a son through whom he would bless the entire world. Yet he allowed Abraham's obedience to be severely tested, first by requiring him to wait nearly a quarter of a century before providing the promised provision, and later by requiring him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. When God saw the obedience of Abraham's heart, he provided a ram in Isaac's place. Again, that ram in the bush. And God provides a ram in the bush for us as well. You never know what God is going to do. I believe that he will provide for us, and he will give us a ram in the bush. What you need, you got to say, Lord, I need X, Y, Z. That's why we made our prayer boards. I'm getting ready to start writing some things for my prayer board because there's some things I need God to do in my life. And there's some things I know I got to do in my life so God will hear my prayers. And then it goes on to say the final step, prompt obedience. If you long to obey God, come on now, you will not hesitate when he tells you to do something. Many times we fail to obey God because we fear the consequences. Yet he never requires us to do anything outside his will for our lives. Our only responsibility is to obey. God's responsibility is to take care of the consequences of our obedience. Our sensitivity to God's will increases as we obey him. Along the way, he provides glimpses of the blessings waiting for us. God always blesses obedience. Or you can disobey him and spend the rest of your life wondering what he would have done had you obeyed him. Once you glimpse the blessings of obedience, however, the consequences no longer matter. We got to ask God, show me, Lord. Show me what you would have me to do. And if we go to a life lesson in chapter 14, it says, blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. The Melchizedek reminded Abram that God had delivered Abram's enemies into his hands, even though it was Abram's men that did the fighting. God is the author of all blessings. And that is our word for this morning. Don't look back. Don't look backwards, family. Keep moving forward. Don't look back. Look ahead. Because watch God work in your life. When you look ahead, God will show you the way. For my sister in Christ this morning, Sister Carolyn. And the word that God gave her today, remember this, when nobody else was there for you, come on now. Sister Carolyn, all up in the lesson again, Mother. God was there. God was there, and he will never leave you alone. Have a fantastic Friday. And I got to read it again. Remember this, when nobody else was there for you, God was there, and he will never leave you alone. Have a fantastic Friday, family. Have a faith-filled Friday. And know that God is always ahead. Don't look backwards. Look ahead. And watch God work in your life. Thanking God again for this mighty word. Thanking you, Mother, for being here with me. For those that are on our conference call, we're going to be a little bit over because I'm going to read our prayer for today. We're going to try to get these prayers in. And the prayer for today is this, Thin Friend. And I just don't want to go without it. It says, Thin Friend. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And working with seniors, I understand this word. There is nothing in this world like being a senior and not having anyone help you up. I had someone who fell and did not have on her collar the little button that they have that you can push. She didn't have her little button. And she fell and had to crawl, basically, to try to get to the phone, but had a hard time. So I tell you, we got to be very careful that we are there for others. That's why I love what I do. You know, I would hate for anyone I know to fall. I fell myself in my garage. I got twisted up and in a power cord that somebody had left too close to my car. I got all twisted up, and I thank God I had my watch on, and with my watch I can call because I was close to my phone, but my phone was in the car, but my watch connects to my phone, and all I had to do was call, and my son, one of my sons was home, and I called him, and I said, I've fallen, and I need your help, and he came out and helped me up. But again, God provided one of my children to be home to help me when I fell, because I couldn't find footing to get up. And it was very scary. And then when you find yourself saying, wait a minute, I am a senior citizen. You know, in a few months, I will be officially a senior citizen. And it just kind of throws me off a little bit. But you know, but it makes you feel good when the kids that you work with tell you, well, I thought you looked like you were at least 40. And I'm like, thank you. And one day back in the old days, you would hate somebody to tell you you look 40. But now I'm like, happy. Okay, thank you, God. I look 40, you know, when I'm about old enough to be 40's mama. So, yeah. Because I am 40's mama. One of my kids is over 40. And it says this, compassionate one, you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. Whenever I stumble, there you are with your strong arms to catch and hold me. I have known your faithful presence as my constant support in every season. No one matches your grace, but let your people do their best. I'm so grateful for a community of friends who have stuck with me through thick and thin. They have been there through my darkest days and are a constant source of encouragement, solidarity, and aid. I see you in them. For those going it alone with you, I pray that you send friends so they would know the beauty of life shared with others who are seeking to live for you. Let your mercy flow through us to one another and out into the world. A shared load is lighter. May I walk intentionally sharing my own burden as well as helping others with theirs. Thank you that you are strengthened in family and community. Let me not be isolated from your people. And the question is today, as we get ready to go, who are your true friends? Who are your true friends? And I would say most times your true friends are those that you can count on one hand. And as Sister Carolyn says this morning, remember this, when nobody else was there for you, God was there and he will never leave you alone. So we are never alone. When we fall down, remember God is always there to pick us up. Amen. Don't look backwards. Look ahead because God is always there walking before us, never behind us, always there to lean around, turn around, and pick us up, dust us off, and help us go where we need to go. Keep trusting in the Lord and watch him work in your life. And that is all I have this morning. Mother, do you have anything? Family, do you have anything? Because we are a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Be blessed, family. As we pray our prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And now it is our third and final closing, and it's officially a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. Have a great day, family. And mother, have a wonderful and blessed rest. Take care, family. Israel, join us on Sunday as we go into Matthew as well as our Psalm and Proverbs. Have a great day. Happy New Year. This is our fifth day of New Year. It's a day of grace. Be blessed. Love you all. Love you, Mother. Again, our fifth and final closing. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.